I recently received an email, a notice from a missionary in a far eastern country, Asian country. And they said that Christmas time, they have very little idea what Christmas is about. And you see people riding around on bicycles with Santa suits on. But despite their lack of knowledge in their language, Christmas means descendant birth. Even there, there is a residue of what the true meaning is. But for us in our culture, the result is when the traditional festivities are taken away from people, their joy is also greatly reduced. But not so with Christians, because you understand that the good news of Christmas is that a Savior was born, Christ the Lord. Many of the Christmas carols speak of the shepherds and the announcement of the angels to the shepherds. To name just a few, angels we have heard on high, angels from the realms of glory, hark the herald angels sing, it came upon a midnight clear, the first Noel, while shepherds watch their flocks, and there are others as well where it's not as obvious in the title. Unfortunately, some of these carols are not always biblically accurate. One even has the shepherd seeing the star which led the Magi. But the heart of the account with the shepherds is the message of the shepherds, the good news which they heard and which they in turn proclaimed. Fear not, the angel said, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior was born, who is Christ the Lord. This was good news for the shepherds, which in turn became good news from the shepherds to others. This was good news for the shepherds because it was addressed to them as shepherds who belonged to a despised class. The angel told them it was a message for all people, but it came first to them, and this elevated them. Shepherds were, well, it was a lowly occupation, but largely because of some who confused the thine and mine as they traveled around. They were known as thieves. And so people looked down upon shepherds, and yet it was to the shepherds that God first revealed the birth of a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this is God's pattern for dealing with us. He looks to the lowly, those often despised by the world, but those who are lowly in heart, and particularly blesses them. We can see this in Mary's prayer, just in the previous chapter of Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1, 46 to 55. In Mary's prayer, she mentions that the Lord has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty, and he has exalted those of humble estate. This was proclaimed already in the Old Testament by Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15 says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite." This is God's pattern in the New Testament as well. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to change the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." As we look at the Christmas account and the message to the shepherds, we are reminded you don't need to be rich. You don't need to be smart by this world's standards. You don't need to be strong. There is good news for you. And for all people, a Savior has been born. This was good news for the shepherds because it was addressed to them who were the providers of a continual animal sacrifice. It says they were near Bethlehem, outside of Bethlehem, and went into Bethlehem to see the child. And Bethlehem itself was fairly close to Jerusalem, about 7 kilometers away. And being outside of Bethlehem, they might have been even closer to Jerusalem. That's less than the distance from our home where we live to the church office in Basel. They might have been the providers then of the sacrificial lambs as part of the shepherds that cared for flocks that provided the lambs, the daily lambs, morning and evening sacrifice, those special ones that people brought, the Passover lambs. And that was a reminder. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 remind us that the sacrifices continually given were a continual reminder of sin, continually offered, and thereby proclaiming that they were insufficient. It didn't take away sin because it had to be offered again and again and again. But the angels proclaimed a Savior is born. The lambs the shepherd provided were not sufficient to save, but now a Savior had come, Christ the Lord. We celebrate the birth of a Savior, one who would give himself as the once for all time sacrifice for sin. His sacrifice, his death on the cross, is sufficient to care for all your sin. There needs to be no further sacrifice given. And those shepherds could rejoice because the sacrifices that they raised, that they knew were insufficient because they had to be given again and again, that was done away with. A Savior was born, Christ the Lord. This was also good news for the shepherds because it was addressed to them who were at that moment drawn into heavenly worship. First, it was an angel of the Lord accompanied by the glory of the Lord. It says they were surrounded by the glory of the Lord. And he announced this good news. The shepherds were afraid, as is typical when an angel appears in all his glory. But they were told, do not fear. And they were given a sign so that they could go and find the child. This is implied. It's not directly commanded to go, but they were given the sign, and it says, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Then a host of angels joined the first one, praising God, and their praise spanned heaven and earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Universal praise to heaven and to earth. And it was as if the shepherds were being invited to join in that praise, to be filled with great joy as they received this news. And they would join in, as the end of the account reports. Some songwriters have picked up on this invitation. Come and worship. Come and adore him. Come, let us join the angelic strain. Glory to our God, we sing. Join the triumph of the skies. These are all phrases from the carols that we sing at Christmas time. You have reason to join in song, to join in praise because of the shepherd's message, a message that came to the shepherds. A Savior was born, Christ the Lord. But the shepherd's message wasn't just a message to the shepherds. It became a message from the shepherds as well. The shepherds went and found the child, just as the angel had said. And they became the messengers. They proclaimed what they had heard from the angel. When they saw the baby lying in the manger, it says they made known the saying that they had been told. And what was that saying? A Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. They were convinced messengers. They followed the implied instructions of the angel. They were given a sign that indicated that was something that they were to look for. And they were told, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they agreed among themselves, let us go and see this. Now, we might wonder at that point, what did they do with the sheep? Did they leave them unguarded? Did only some go and some stayed? But even if they left someone watching the sheep, they had been keeping watch over the flock, and they risked leaving it to go and see. They were convinced that this was an important message, enough to leave the flock that they were responsible for. Even if it were in the hands of others, they went to see this which the angel had proclaimed. To go and see this thing which had happened means that they were convinced of the truth of the message without having even seen the child. God blesses those who believe without having to see. The Apostle John will report this about Thomas, who failed to believe that Jesus rose from the dead unless he see Jesus. Jesus had appeared to the others, but Thomas was missing on that first occasion. And when they told him, he said, I won't believe unless I see him and put my fingers in his hands and my fist in his side. But Jesus appeared to Thomas, and Thomas believed, falling on his knees and saying, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You have not seen. Have you believed? Have you placed your faith in a risen Savior? And if so, there's great reason for joy, great joy, because unto you was born a Savior, Christ the Lord. These shepherds, because perhaps they were so convinced, they became also bold messengers. They told others. Apparently, it was more than just Joseph and Mary, because it says all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That's verse 18. We don't know if it was just on this evening. It was at night. We don't know how late. Were people up? Did they wake people up as they traveled through the town? Or was it something that they continued saying? My guess is that they didn't keep it to themselves afterwards. To have a host of angels appear to you, to be told that a Savior was born, wasn't something that they would just go back to their sheep and not say anything again. They continued, I believe, to tell people. Why such boldness? Well, I think probably from their belief. They were told this is for all people. There was a reason to tell others. It may have been from their personal experience. They saw and heard the angels. They saw the fulfillment of the angel's word with their own eyes. And their boldness also may have come from their joy. This is great. A Savior has been born. Christ the Lord. This encourages us, I think, as well, to be bold messengers of good news. There is a message for all people. We celebrate the birth of a Savior. We celebrate the coming of the Lord, God's promised one, the Messiah, the Christ. And that should fill us all with joy. With the restrictions which have been placed upon us, now especially at this time of the year, it's easy for people to have their joy taken away. They were looking forward to being together with family, with friends. They were looking forward, at least in Germany, probably for shopping, that last-minute shopping, and suddenly from one afternoon to the next, the stores were closed. For many people, their joy was taken. Well, yes, we can say that part of our joy was taken, but compared to the joy that the shepherds had, compared to the joy of the good news that's for all people, that's a small thing. A Savior was born, Christ the Lord. Let that joy fill you and be a light to those around you, that you could be messengers with a message of great joy to all people, as the shepherds were as well. And finally, as we look at the shepherds again, they were pious messengers, devout reverent, God-fearing messengers. And we can see this from their response to the news and what they saw. It says they returned glorifying and praising God. To glorify and praise God means to declare to God his greatness and goodness, and to declare to others God's greatness and goodness. We glorify him as we tell others how great he is and how good he is. And we praise him when we tell him how great and good he is. This is the response of a heart in tune to God, a reverent, God-fearing heart. The fallen man, by nature, neither thanks God nor glorifies him as God. Paul tells us this as he writes to the Romans in chapter 1. When God opens our hearts to him, we see his greatness, we see his goodness, and you respond glorifying and praising God as did the shepherds. To the Romans, Paul wrote that when man rejected God, they began the rejection by failing to thank him, failing to honor him or glorify him as God. The shepherds and we and every God-fearing person has reason to glorify and praise God for the message which the shepherds received and passed on. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherd's message is your message as well. It is good news for all people. It is your message to receive, and it's your message to share. You are ambassadors proclaiming the coming of a Savior. We must remember, however, that it's not merely his coming that brought salvation. He came in order to give his life as a ransom. He came in order to die an undeserved death in the place of sinners who deserved death. He came in order to fulfill the promise of God to make a new covenant, to forgive iniquities, to remember sins no more, to write the law on our hearts, to remove the heart of stone and give a soft heart. But that was only possible by his death in the place of sinners. That promise of God is also called a covenant. And as a covenant, it's sealed with blood. Sin is forgiven justly, only with an appropriate payment on sin, an appropriate sacrifice. Christ came and offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, Hebrews 10, verse 12. Jesus Christ, the Lord, entered into humanity, which we celebrate now at Christmas time, in order to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin, which we celebrate at Easter when we remember his resurrection, God's affirmation that his death was an acceptable payment. For this reason, it's entirely appropriate that we celebrate the bread and cup at Christmas. We remember his death and resurrection because he was born to be a savior, to save his people from their sins. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior who is Christ the Lord. That was the message to the shepherds, and it's a message to you and to others as well. Unto you was born this day in the city of David a savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you. We glorify you because you are a great and good God. You are good and showed that goodness in giving of a gift that was so great, your only Son, not just coming to earth, but coming to die for us, to be a sacrifice for our sin, to pay the penalty of our sin. Your greatness is seen in the magnitude of that gift, the greatness of your goodness as well. We thank you that you have done so much for us. We pray that you would so impress that in our hearts, that it would fill our minds and hearts, and the joy which you give would be abundant today as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Christ the Lord. And it's his name we pray. Amen.